From the beginning of creation, you were intricately designed by a creator who shaped you for victory because of his steadfast love for you. Whether that is through your finances, spirituality, mental, or physical health, I'm here to help you learn how to take over what is rightfully yours in the eyes of God. Now, it's time to get fit for the kingdom. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the first official episode of Fit for the Kingdom. And man, are you in for a treat today. If you don't know who I am, my name is Josiah Schrock, and I absolutely love talking about the kingdom of God and the principles that come with it, and just talking to people on how to unlock the keys to God's kingdom. Today, we have a very, very, very special guest on the podcast, and man, it's just going to be so good. I'm so excited. This is a man who I look up to and seek advice for just about anything. He's a servant of the Lord and is just actively pursuing Jesus. Anyone who knows this man is blessed abundantly because any room that he's in literally just has so much joy and excitement. And I know whenever I need anything, he'll always respond with, you know, a manner that's always points to the Lord. And yeah, I just know he'll always be there for me. He is the husband to an absolute queen, which so happens to be my sister, and a soon-to-be father, which is just so exciting. Ladies and gents, Joshua Rushing.
Thank you. Thank you for the kind words. I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to help however I can and share what I know.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for joining. I'm so excited just for everyone to just hear you out. You've been through college. You're married. You have a full-time job. You have your side things. But tell us a little bit about yourself so the listeners know.
So, I mean, if you know me, I've been working in a ministry position that's changed definitions over the past 8 years. But for the past 8 years, I've been in ministry, largely in a media focus. I graduated with a degree in pastoral leadership. And yeah, just a student of the word, student of life. And I'm just excited to be here. As of right now, I am working in Christian television. I'm a TV producer. So I get to see and hear a lot from different pastors and kind of know how those sorts of things work with a bunch of different ministries. So I've lived a lot of life, I always say. So I'm happy to help and, you know, share whatever advice I can with our topics today.
Yeah. And I mean, hence the title, you know, assuming that you've read the title, we're going to be discussing different types of relationships in our lives. And so whether that is your friendship, so, you know, if you're a guy, what it looks like to prioritize your other guy friends, or if you're a woman prioritizing, you know, your other woman friends, or, you know, dating, Christian community as a whole, marriage, and, you know, all the things. But I want to first touch on here just a little bit about dating, because I know that this is a topic, I mean, me being a college student right now, it's something that I see every day. It's something I see every week. It's something, you know, all the time. And it actually kind of breaks my heart because, you know, some people are just not smart.
Yeah, you said it.
we're gonna keep it real here. And but yeah, like, Josh, what is your take on just Christian dating relationships in our, like, in our current society right now? Do you have any takes on that?
Ooh. Yeah, this is a loaded. We're jumping into the good stuff first, so yeah. Okay, I'm excited, but yeah, I think that you said it best. People are not making great decisions when it comes to Christian dating, and this is like a hot topic. You're opening up a big can of worms, but I have a couple of heavy opinions when it comes to Christian dating.
Now let's hear it.
We'll start with the guys because that's kind of that's where I'm. You know, my expertise kind of is expertise, but, you know, that's where I have a lot of my experience, you know?
Right.
And the conclusion that I've come to, honestly, for listeners, Josiah's obviously outside of this, but most guys in the church, most of us should not be dating yet. And that's just, it's a sad reality, but there's a lot of immaturity, and that doesn't exclude the women at all. I've seen a lot of things. Like I said, I've lived a lot of life. But I see kind of this, there's this weird statistical difference between marriageable men and women in the church right now. And what I found is for every maybe 10 women of, you know, dating age, you know, maybe young adult age, that are ready to have a serious relationship and settle down, there's maybe two guys to match. And it's kind of a travesty because I think it speaks to an overarching issue with church culture. There are a lot more women striving toward Christ than there are men in general. And it's kind of a byproduct of the culture at large. I feel like we live in this very pleasure-driven, expedient-driven society where guys are starting to lose hope in the marriage structure. The best way that I can put that is, I'm sure your listeners have heard of these big podcasts with like Andrew Tate and, you know, the Whatever podcast or whatever. Not to bash on anybody that likes this podcast, sure. But yeah. One of the major themes that you find in those podcasts is, you know, reject the Western woman, reject relationships in general, marriage is a scam and all this stuff. But marriage is a beautiful, a perfect institute given to us by God for our development and our pleasure. And I think the biggest issue is that people don't understand what marriage is really for anymore. I know that we're on dating, but that's the end goal. That should be the end goal.
Right.
The biggest issue that I find is that I don't think people understand what marriage is all about. And by proxy, that means they don't understand what dating is all about.
Right.
Your goal going into it should be, is this person going to be a suitable husband or wife for me? If they aren't, stop messing around because
right.
You're going to get yourself tied up into soul ties and things like that. And it's not, you're only doing yourself a disservice by sticking around with someone that you know isn't going to be ultimately good for you in the plan that God has for your life.
Right. Absolutely. I don't want to interrupt you here, but I also just have something to say. Like you talked about the two men to every, you know, 10 women that are qualified, quote unquote, whatever. Mm. And something that like I love, I even have to tell this to myself every day. But when I ask like my guy friends, like, hey, like, do you have a vision for yourself to get married one day? Or do you have a vision for yourself to be a father one day? And like, oh yeah, like absolutely. Like I want to be a dad so bad. I want to be a husband so bad. And that's great. But then when I ask them like, you know, hey, are you actively pursuing the Lord? And are you praying? And are you getting in the word? They're like, oh no, like I haven't been doing good this week. You know, I've been, you know, I got in one day. And I'm like, listen, dude, like if you are called to be the head of the household one day, obviously this isn't marriage or this isn't dating, this isn't marriage. But if you are called as a man of God to lead the household, but you can't lead yourself right now, what makes you think that you are going to be able to do that? Because pulling a ring out of your rear end is not going to change anything. That is not going to prepare you. The ring does nothing.
You're preaching right now.
and people are probably going to, whatever. But seriously, like if you can't lead yourself right now, what makes you think you can lead your wife? If you can't lead yourself right now, what makes you think that you can steward children to honor and love the Lord? You know, you and I have seen some things, you know, growing up, you know, both of us come from divorced families.
Yep.
And the seriousness of marriage and if it is broken, if that covenant is broken, what it can do to families. It's not okay. It's not what the Lord designed. And so when I see these people in dating and they're just messing around or they think they know what they're doing or, you know, they think they have it all figured out, I'm sorry to break it to you, but you don't. And quite frankly, we're not made to figure everything out.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, from a guy's standpoint, like a lot of us struggle with pride and, oh, well, I know what's best for me. I know what's best, you know, for the best kind of woman that I need. And, you know, if you are a Holy Spirit driven man who's actively pursuing the Lord, he will give you discernment on the right woman for you.
Right.
I've never been one to believe in, you know, the one.
Right.
But I do believe in the right one and how there's, you know, there could be multiple different right ones. And, you know, if they're compatible with you and you agree on your finances and agree on the church and, you know, you want to have the same number of kids or, you know, whatever. That's a whole different thing. But I just really am passionate about that part of being able to lead yourself. That's why I wanted to just talk about that because we're not. And your point proven, you know, to the 10 to 2 ratio is just sad. And women do tend to be a little bit more mature, which is great. But like as a man, and you know, you hear it all the time, like suck it up, like just keep going, like your emotions don't matter.
Yeah.
But like that's not what God's word says.
Not at all.
I'm yeah, go ahead.
I'm really happy that you're bringing this stuff up. One of the big things, just to go hand in hand with what you were saying about men not leading themselves, there is a discipleship just travesty going on in the church right now, where young men, I don't want to put all the blame on them, but blame and responsibility are two different things. It is your responsibility to be discipled and learn how to lead yourself well. The issue is, I blame church history and our elders, our leadership in modern Western church, for not being more proactive about discipleship. Because here's the deal, most men are just going to model their actions after the most successful or the best leadership that they have to follow in the men above them, right? Your dad is a wonderful man. He's seriously one of the funnest people to be around, and he's got a great heart for God in everything that he does, and so you can just see it on him. So you've got a good picture to follow. And the sad reality is, a lot of guys just don't have that picture.
Yeah, that's so true.
And I know that one of America's biggest epidemics right now is that the father is leaving the home. Statistically speaking, your viewers don't know this because, I'm not on camera, but I'm black. And one of the big things that plagues the black community is fatherlessness in the homes. It's just the biggest issue that there is. And the Bible is very clear about how important male leadership is. God wouldn't institute men as head of the household if, anyone could do it. There's a high call and a high responsibility that shouldn't be taken lightly. And when you remove a father completely, it messes a lot of things up. But what people don't talk about is that this isn't just, specific to the black community. Fatherlessness is so rampant in every ethnic group in America right now because it's a culture problem, not just a race problem. And you see that permeate even the church right now. There aren't a lot of good dads in undivorced, unbroken homes, even in the church right now. And I'm sure our numbers are better than that of the world, but the biggest issue isn't just having good dads in the church, it's having good dads that see the need for other kids to have good male leadership and stepping into those cracks there. When the Bible talks about being available for the widow and the orphan, that wasn't a joke. We find all over the New Testament that that's what true religion is supposed to look like. And the orphan doesn't have to mean, both parents are displaced. The biblical translation for today would be, is the caretaker gone? The father? Is that male leadership and headship out of that kid's life? If so, real religion looks like you stepping in and leading and discipling that kid. If you've ever been sitting in a church service and you thought, gosh, those kids are unruly, or they're doing, I'm not going to name any names or point any fingers, but just the other day, me and my wife were sitting in church, and some of the kids behind us were being really loud and kind of obnoxious. And my first thought was, where's their parents? Like, if I were those kids, my dad would hit me upside the head and say, act right, this is church. And I had half a mind to do so, but my wife, she's very pregnant now, and she doesn't really take much crap from anybody. She's like, I'm going to move across, to the other aisle. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll do that. But it's just an important thing to remember, like, if we want the men of the next generation to be worth something as husbands and as fathers, we need to do the work now because we see the issue, right? God doesn't just reveal issues in other people or in society for us to sit on our thumbs and do nothing. He wants us to be proactive whenever we see the need, pray about it, and get involved in it. So I do think that discipleship is the big issue there. And I kind of want to, if it's all right, we're talking about dating and relationships. I don't want to leave the women's side untouched just because we're two guys.
Absolutely.
I think the issue for guys is kind of evident. We need someone to follow after that's doing the work. That's, one of the biggest things before we jump off of the topic of guys entirely. In my younger years, growing up in church, I got back into church and rededicated my life to Christ when I was about 17, 18. Got a car and all that. I promised God, hey, if you help me get a car, I'll start going to church again. Within the next 2 weeks, I think I got a car, which was,
Wow.
yeah, that's another story for another day, but
That's kingdom thoughts right there.
that's literally it. Yeah. As
Yeah.
long as your will is aligned with God's will and the kingdom, like, ask and you shall receive. The Bible is
Yeah.
not playing around.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that I did and still have a habit of doing, in the church, which started when I first gave my life back to Christ, was I would look at the pastor and, you know, see if he believed the things that he was actually saying. I struggled major time, you know, living in the world with lust and things like that. And I had a hard time believing, like, you could even overcome that sort of thing. I grew up in the world and everyone was doing it. Everyone was talking about it. I was like, can you really live purely? Is that like a thing you can do?
Yeah.
And I was very blunt. I didn't have a lot of restraint when asking pastors about, you know, their issues. I would go up to my pastors and say, hey, what do you think about pornography? Is that sin? Do you watch it? I was very direct.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I was still learning so much. I didn't know how to be reserved about my questions.
Yeah.
What I learned is, one, you can absolutely overcome. That's what the Holy Spirit's for.
Right.
But two, it was usually pretty 50-50. Some pastors would dance around the question. Some pastors, and you know, and this isn't an indictment on those pastors. They still have to go through their walk. I do believe that God can use broken people. But it was hard to find someone to latch onto, to be discipled by, if they didn't believe the words that they were saying and they didn't walk through the healing that I was looking for.
Yeah.
So it's a top to bottom issue. And I know, like, men need to, I hate to sound like every boot camp, you know, man influencer, but men do need to step up and find people they can latch onto that actually walk the walk that they're talking.
Right. And and I think a lot of people too, like talking about discipleship, they, you know, oh, well, the person that, you know, I need to seek discipleship from needs to be perfect and totally, you know, pure from their past and this and that. It's like, listen, whether it's your wife one day and she's the most amazing person you've ever met, or whether it's someone that has helped, you know, your pastor or helping disciple you, we are all human and we are all imperfect and we all have our flaws. But it is a matter of denying your flesh every single day and saying no to your immediate desires. Yep. In fact, our own strength cannot even say no to those immediate desires because our flesh is so incredibly weak. But that is why it is so important to be full of the Holy Spirit. That way the Spirit living within us can give us that strength to say, you know what? No, because I have a vision for my future. I have a vision for my finances. I have a vision for my marriage. I have a vision for my legacy of my family.
That's good, man.
And that is where you can say no, is because the Holy Spirit is driving you. Not because you say no, but because the Holy Spirit is telling you no.
Amen.
And that is just righteous conviction at its best. And, you know, I would even encourage you and ask, you know, the listeners to discern themselves on this. Like, are you feeling convicted in your sin? Because if you're not, that is a big, big problem.
It's a red flag.
And I would encourage you to go seek help.
Yeah.
Immediately. But but like for the women, like, I just, you know, I want to encourage them too. Like, you know, like you were saying, like, it's just as important for them to get discipled and for them to have their women on their side. And this is what I hate about being a guy. Well, I don't hate being a guy by any means. I love it. Yeah. But like I hate within a community of guys is how we tend to make fun of women or laugh at women for certain things. And it literally boils my blood because I'm like, you want to be a godly man, but you're literally making fun of the gender that will one day make you a father or one day make you a husband. And so how can you even fully respect a woman if you're going to go behind their back and make fun of them?
Right.
And so for women, like, I feel like they, you know, like you said, back to the 10 to 2 ratio, like a lot of them are ready and they're qualified and ready to get married. But then these goons out here don't know how to be a man.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm talking to myself here too, you know, like, you know, I want to grow and I want to, you know, I want to be a sponge when it comes to wisdom and growing with the Lord and honoring women and honoring myself. But man, like it drives me nuts.
Yeah. Let me, again, we're not going to say any names. I don't know who's going to listen to this podcast. I've got a really good friend. He's a good friend of mine. And I've said this to him, you know, face to face before. This isn't back talk or anything like that. But it's an example. I've got a good friend who's a little older than me, which, I mean, I'm an old guy at this point. But
definitely not old.
Well, you know, he's early 30s, we'll say. And he is, you know, he's single, he's looking for a wife and all this stuff. And I got to be honest, it's one of the biggest frustrations I have with him, because guys have this habit of making it way harder than it has to be.
Oh my goodness.
When it
yes.
comes to talking to women.
So hard. Oh my word.
And I, if I can help somebody out today, then I would really love to do that. It's not the biggest sign that you're idolizing women. And, you know, I mean that in the most serious way I can say it. The biggest sign that you're committing idol worship is you're so afraid of women that you can't even speak to them.
So like true.
You hold so much reverence for them that you find it easier to approach your infallible God and creator than you do to ask a girl out to coffee. Mm. Like, something's wrong there. And I know that sounds harsh. Maybe, you know, you're socially awkward, but they're very human people. They're just human beings like us.
You're right.
One of the things that really frustrated me, he went about, this friend of mine, he has this habit of, you know, going after the women that he is attracted to in a very roundabout way. If there's anything I value in men, it's clarity. And women value this too. Clarity, confidence. Those are the two biggest things, right? Clarity, confidence, and competence. Be good at something. Be restrained. Don't let your emotions drive you wild. And be confident in who you are. Like, you don't try to be somebody else for anybody. I know this sounds like cliches, but those three C's will help you a lot. Clarity, competence, confidence. He wasn't clear at all, right? I would say he's competent. He's a smart guy. I would honestly, confidence maybe not, but the clarity was the big stickler. He would go around, you know, trying to court these women in a roundabout way by doing all the right things, right? Being the nice guy tactic. Let me bake you goods. Let me do all of these things that you didn't really ask for, but I'm just going to try to overwhelm you with niceties and doing all these like nice little gestures without ever directly saying, hey, I'm interested. Would you like to go out for coffee or something and, you know, see where this goes? It's astonishingly simple to approach the woman that you're interested in. If you stop beating around the bush and honestly being weird, it's kind of weird. Yeah. You know? Not to say that you shouldn't be nice to women. Please don't mishear
right,
me.
Right.
But just being straightforward about your intentions goes a long way. And it's the same if you do end up dating that woman, you're going to want to be straightforward with her father, her family. Because right. I still believe in, you know, asking for the father's permission to court right. his daughter. But it's a very straightforward thing if you're willing to just cut the crap and get to the point a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Just like being a man of decisiveness.
Yes.
Like why are we lacking in decisiveness? Why can't you decide if you want to go ask that girl? Like, I feel like you should just know if you want to go, you know, like after being, you know, spending time with them, you know, if you're attracted to them and they're actively pursuing the Lord and you're like, wow, this girl seems really cool. I'm going to go ask her out. Like, you know, just be decisive about it. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, right. just go do it. Like, I think, and go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the fear of rejection is a very strong motivator to do nothing. And this applies to business as well. You know, we're talking about the kingdom in its wholeness. God can't do some miraculous work through you against your will, right? He's not going to force you to do anything. So if you've got this major business idea, or if you've got somebody on your heart that you'd like to get closer to, God's not going to force them to do anything. He's not going to force your plans to work, right? You've got to be willing to go out and do. You have to do something.
Right.
I remember when I was in high school, again, this was worldly, Josh, but I was figuring out the principles. I used to have to hype myself up. I'd never asked a girl out directly before until high school. I was in the 10th grade, maybe. And eventually something switched in my brain. I was like, you know what? I'm not confident. However, I'm never going to get confident if I don't at least try. So I tell myself, just ask her out. It's not going to kill you. The worst you can say is no, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that's not always true. Sometimes the worst she could say is absolutely not in front of all of her friends. But it taught me something, you know? I would have never had the confidence to eventually find my wife if I didn't step out of my comfort zone and be proactive about the things that I wanted. You're the only one that's going to be able to get the life that you want for yourself. No one else is going to do it for you. So you've got to be willing to step up, be confident, and be clear. Be proactive about the things that you want to see in your life, and then they'll come. But It's entirely up to you.
And if you're not going to step up and do it, then somebody else is going to do it. And
yeah,
and you might be too late.
Yeah, that you is know, a so, very, very real thing.
But like you said about, you know, about rejection, like I've seen people get rejected. I've been rejected. You know, it's just a part of it. But like, I see people be like, oh my word, my life is falling apart. And I'm like, dude, like grow up.
Right.
Like respectfully, like if you're struggling this bad about getting rejected, then maybe you should be getting in the word more often or stop listening to that garbage music that's making you all depressed or something. I don't know. I'm no therapist, but like, come on. Like, I get it. You know, it's hard to get rejected. I get it. Like, whatever.
Well, that's kind of life, you know?
That is life. And that's the thing, is through the kingdom of God, we hold victory. Mm-hmm. In his word, it clearly says that all things work together for good of those who love him. All things, not just some things or one thing or two, all things, right? And so I wish that we could just all understand that. Like, instead of in even allowing our circumstances to overcome and turn into our emotions and acting out on those, like, listen, if you have the Lord, if you have the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying, you know, obviously you're going to have some bad days, and that's life, right? I'm not saying anyone's going to be perfect or have a perfect day. Mm-hmm. But like 99% of the time, you should be having joy in the Lord because that, you know, like, even 100% of the time, you should be, you know, having joy in the Lord because he is your strength and he is your joy. Right. And so know, you know, whether you're dating or married or whatever, no woman or man will ever fully fulfill you. And so if you cannot fully depend onto the Lord, you are going to have those struggles.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough time for you. I had a mentor in Bible college that used to say, happiness is circumstantial. Joy is a choice. And nothing could be more true.
So true.
Having a good day is great. You know, things go your way. The cards fall just right. That's awesome. Don't count on that. If you're living your life to make sure your circumstances are always perfect, you're gonna have a tough time. This is a fallen world. We believe in the kingdom. We believe in God's goodness.
Right.
But this is a fallen world. You're going to have to deal with the stresses of everyday life, the persecution that comes with following Christ. There are some hard things to endure. If you're going to let your circumstances determine anything about your emotional state, you're not going to have a good time. There's a whole lot of things to be upset about. We see that in the victim mentalities that a lot of people have nowadays. We're not going to jump into that just yet. But if you let your circumstances determine what you're going to feel like and what you're going to be like, more importantly, you're just not going to be very pleasant to be around, which kind of circles back to the dating thing. Don't be an unhappy person.
Yeah, so
there's
true.
No quicker way to stay single for the rest of your life than by moping around and being upset about everything that isn't going your way. Oh, she didn't like me. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice guys finish last. If I hear someone say that line again, I'm going to lose it. You shouldn't be striving. This is for the men again. Sorry, we'll correct the women in a second, but I have a lot to say. If you're striving harder to be a nice guy than a good man, that's your first mistake.
Right.
Be good. Don't just be nice. Because nice guys have this habit of doing nice things to elicit a response, which isn't nice. That's manipulation.
Mm.
The Bible would define that as witchcraft, right? It's not of God for you to, you know, hold open the door and buy a nice treat or whatever. If your end goal in that is to get something out of that other person.
Right.
That's not an honest exchange of goodness to one another. And the Bible's clear. We need to be good to one another.
Right.
They will know us by our love for one another. And true, authentic love isn't what can I get out of this person? It's what can I give this person of myself?
Mm-hmm. I know, like, for me, one thing, like, obviously I'm single. And one thing that I look at for somebody that I want to, you know, either ask out or date and then obviously like lead to marriage is, you know, I look at how they serve people. Yes. If they can serve people that can do absolutely nothing for them, wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
Because if she can serve, you know, if she can serve them like that and they can do nothing for her, how is she going to be able to serve her husband one day?
Right.
In which she loves, in which, you know, together they are one. And so, like, man, serving, you know, for both men and women are so, so incredibly important. But I mean, you were talking about being, you know, a good person or being a nice guy. And ultimately, like when you are pursuing the Lord and when you are memorizing his word and when you are spending time in his word and in prayer and worship, like I don't even want to say you become a good guy, you become a godly man. And that's like a lifelong process. But right. like that is the thing that a woman of the Lord, you know, that's looking for a man. I can't even speak, but it's okay. You guys know what I'm talking about. Right. That's who she's going to be looking for, right? She's going to be looking for a man that's serving and that is honoring the Lord constantly. And so, yeah, right. I would encourage guys with that, but very well said.
Yeah. Now I do want to, you know, if we had to chop it down to just a handful of things that both guys and girls should be looking for in a spouse, I do want to bring up it's a good scripture for these times today because we live in a very feminist culture and a lot of girls, yeah. I end up giving a lot of relationship advice because for whatever reason, people come to me about those things, married friends or just dating friends or people looking to date. And a problem that I do see with a lot of women nowadays is that they often aren't told when they're in the wrong about anything. This culture does give women a lot of excuses, you know? And there, it's a tough thing to say, especially as a guy, but I'm not super afraid of being canceled or anything. So, I'm just going to say it as it is. A lot of women feel truly like they can do no wrong. If you ever look up relationship advice on social media and stuff, the quintessential example is you watch a reel between a happily married couple and the comment sections just take their content and do what they want with it. It'll be a guy coming home with flowers and chocolate or whatever, just loving on his wife. And they turn it into like a moment on social media and all the comments will read as he should, you know, that's what men are for. Nothing less, sister. Like things like that, where it's like, man, you're supposed to serve. You're supposed to stick your neck out. You're supposed to do all these things to make your wife happy. And I don't disagree with that. The problem comes when any guy tries to expect that of their wives in return, right? If the biggest arguments you see in those comment sections are if a guy says, you know, what is she doing for you in return? Which again, it's not exactly a healthy outlook on it, but it is a good question for the sake of this argument. The women in the comments will then say, you know, she's the queen, she's the prize, she's the this, she's the that. Not that I necessarily disagree, but that isn't a mutually beneficial relationship. You know, it's a 100% all in effort on both sides if you want things to work.
Right.
So women have to be held accountable. There's a scripture that I stuck to because my mom definitely drilled this into my head. Proverbs has a lot of good insight on what really counts, what really matters when it comes to relationships. And I think the best example for guys comes down to two scriptures that I really love. We'll start with Proverbs 25:24. It is better to live in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. And that's a pretty extreme picture, right? Like, it doesn't matter how big your house is, how great the meal is, how whatever. If your wife is going to vex you and argue with you and be a problem, to be just contentious, that you don't want to go home to her, it would be better for you to live on a small corner of a rooftop than to just share space with her, because nothing will drain you spiritually faster than someone that's always looking out to get you. You know, you want your wife to be your biggest cheerleader, your biggest support. If you can't enjoy, you know, space shared with her, you feel like you can't be yourself or whatever, it's a recipe for disaster. So men who are in their dating stage, more than, you know, how she looks or more than, you know, any physical attributes that you might be looking for, which the physical is important, but just hear me out. If she's argumentative, she doesn't understand submission, she doesn't understand service or servitude, those are big red flags. And it's not politically correct to say, but you want a wife that you're going to be happy to come home to every day.
Right.
And those other things will fade fast, you know? Oh, yeah, you know, my wife, she argues with me all the time, but boy, isn't she hot. Well, when she's 60 years old and you've dedicated, you know, the past four decades of your life to that relationship, does coming home like irritated and stressed out really going to pay off when she's not able to give you, you know, the hot body that you're looking for, or like the non-wrinkled face? You're looking for something long-term if you're looking for marriage. Like, this isn't a This isn't a dating thing. You're not jumping in to jump out. Prayerfully, this is going to last you your whole life.
Yeah.
And then on into eternity, hopefully there's no bad blood between you guys. You know what I
right.
mean? Like, now, another scripture, it's in Proverbs 30 or Proverbs 31. Pretty sure it's 31:30. I'm going to quote this exactly, ESV, just so that I'm not butchering anything.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
Yeah.
Now, you touched on this earlier. How is she serving people and how is she pursuing God? Ultimately, right. I promise you, feelings of attraction, no matter how hot your wife is, sorry to be crude, those things come and go because, newsflash, your spouse won't be perfect and they will irritate you.
Yeah.
It's really hard
ways.
To look.
Yes.
You're gonna be imperfect too. Trust me.
Yeah.
The thing you need to hold on to is you're not always going to like be in the right frame of mind to desire them all the time if they just irritated you, mm-hmm. you know, 5 minutes earlier, right?
Yeah.
What's important in those moments, though? The most important thing is after you guys have your argument or your disagreement, is she going to be receptive if you say, hey, we missed the mark on that. Let's pray about it because I don't know how to fix this. Let's pray about it.
Yeah.
If she doesn't run to God in the face of her problems, I promise you she'll run to somebody else. And that could be a friend to gossip or that could be another guy to blow things up. You want someone that is rooted in the relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women aren't being taught, you know, to run to God first and to not be contentious.
Right. No, I love that. And I also just, I want to touch base. You were talking about, you know, like this is backtracking a little bit to, you know, the Instagram reels or, you know, social media where the man is bringing the chocolate and the flowers or, and the women saying, well, as he should.
Right.
And I think it goes same things for, you know, guys saying about women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've heard the saying a million times, like, oh, you know, like my wife is going to be there to be a dishwasher and make me sandwiches for the rest of my life.
Gosh,
and like,
yeah.
You know, she's so hot and, you know, I'm going to be able to, you know, have
very
sex and do
carnal.
All this. And it's like, listen, your intentions obviously are just not there. And obviously it is biblical that a woman submits to the man. And I would argue that, you know, a man submits to the woman when it comes to service in specific areas. But ultimately the man is to submit to the Lord. The woman to the man to the Lord. And if the man is submissive to the Lord and is getting discernment from the Holy Spirit and is actively pursuing the Lord, then the woman should have no worry on what decisions the man is going to make for, you know, financial choices or whatever. And so, you know, men, submit now to the Lord. Don't wait because, and we were talking about, you know, 30, 40 years of marriage and then, you know, their hotness or is gone, whatever.
Right.
And I mean, yeah, it's very true, but like divorce has been such a big thing to where people get married and then, you know, they're married for 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, 10 years and then they just get divorced. Like, oh, well, they're not the way I thought they were. You know, she was hot or he was hot, but you know, it didn't work because we disagreed on this. And it's like, you should have figured that out when you were dating.
Right. Yes.
Like you should have had the, you know, or, you know, even getting ready for the wedding or whatever, you know. So I hate, you know, divorce. And I love families. And I pray that, you know, my future wife, her family was, you know, never had a divorce or anything like that. But it's hard for people to understand what divorce does to a family if they've never experienced it. Like it is.
Yeah.
It's just, it's hard. I don't know how else to explain it.
It's
you know, it does things. It gives you, you know, trust issues and, you know, all the things. But through Christ, right, we have victory through that, right? And so, but if you're not set straight on the Lord, if your eyes aren't on the Lord, you know, then you're going to be very disappointed in your marriage because of both people being imperfect.
Yes. I will say, just because your spouse or maybe you had divorced parents or things like that, take it as a learning opportunity if you can, because I'm sure a lot of the viewers can relate. Most marriages, over 50%, end in divorce. Now, those stats are different for couples that pray together every night. The odds go down dramatically if you're doing the right things in your marriage. But that starts before you ever get married, right?
Right.
If you don't feel comfortable praying or reading your Bible, doing devotionals with the person that you're with, that might be a good indicator that you're not really well equipped to go into marriage together. Because let me tell you, just from personal experience, right? We're nearing 5 years in our marriage with, like you said, we have a child on the way very soon. Mm-hmm. You know, things are real. These things are, we're locked in as you can be.
Yeah.
As alike as we are, we agree on everything fundamentally that, you know, actually matters, right? Our politics are the same. Our view on finances are the same. Our view on theology is the same. We're very, very attuned in all of the major things that matter, right? That does not stop you from getting irritated with your spouse. It doesn't stop you from being irritating to your spouse. I promise you, just finding someone that works, this is how I say it. We don't believe in the one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you find someone that checks all the boxes and that does everything right, we're human beings. Like, your right. search has to be more than just what you can write down on a piece of paper and all that. Truly, the mark of a dedicated relationship and what's actually going to last a lifetime has less to do with who you are right now and more to do with how willing you are to conform mm-hmm. to the image of Christ. That's mm-hmm. the most important thing. Marriages die when people stop trying.
Right.
And most importantly, stop trying to seek Christ. If you're both heading toward God at full speed, there should be no reason for you to split apart, because right. that refining process, that sanctification, is what's going to draw you nearer to each other and make you more understanding in the long run.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And as we, you know, start and close this up a little bit here, like you said, and I also just, I want to touch base. I kind of lost my train of thought here.
That's all right.
But when it comes to marriage, it's, you know, it's important too. Yeah, I totally lost my train of thought.
That's all right.
It is important that, you know, each person is actively pursuing the Lord. I mean, we know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it just came back to my mind. But something for me, like as a 21-year-old male, that wants to be in a relationship and wants to get married and wants to have kids one day. Like for me, I've started to learn to pray the prayer like, Lord, don't let me just find attraction in a woman through her looks. Mm. Let me find attraction in by her fruit, by the way she serves, by the way she's pursuing you. Because those things are of godly value, right? That's what the word tells us. And so I would encourage any man, male or female, you know, any male or female out there, I would encourage you to start praying those prayers of, Lord, let me find attraction, not through his or her looks, but through her or his or her fruit in her, you know, does he or she have something going for them? And are they working, you know, hard to serve the Lord and, you know, all the things. But yeah, do you have anything to touch on that?
I do. I think that what you find your attraction is very important. But I don't want anyone to be like misled. You want to wake up to somebody that you find truly beautiful every day.
Correct.
That's like,
correct.
That's a big win. Right?
That is, you know? That is very important. Yeah.
I will say, however, historically speaking, we have so much access, and this is another reason why I personally believe that relationships fail a lot. There wasn't so much access and choice and expediency with people. We live in what I like to call the microwave generation, where anything you want is pretty instantly gratifying. You can, at no point in human history other than right now, could you say, I'm hungry, throw something in the microwave, and then boom, you have yourself a ready-made meal of some degree mm-hmm. to just have right there, like frozen dinners as a concept. But we don't just apply that to food anymore. We apply that to actually everything. We couldn't be yeah. entertained as easily. If you wanted to be entertained in ancient history, you'd have to go to an amphitheater in Rome and watch people put on plays. And there was a commitment to do literally everything. We live in the total opposite of that today, where everything is a lack of commitment. Mm. If you don't like the show you're watching, you're not even tied down to watching through a commercial anymore. You can just switch to YouTube, switch a video, switch whatever. We've done the same thing with relationships, with dating apps and with all these things. We've treated people like products, and that starts first and foremost with our pornographic culture. If you don't like the way one person looks, sorry to get vulgar, but if you don't like the way something looks, you can just, switch to something else or whatever. We've created these super unhealthy appetites for human beings as products that we have these dating apps and things. And I have single friends who are on dating apps, and they'll sometimes send me the most ridiculous bios from some of these people. And it's really disheartening sometimes to see what they go through, and I'm honestly sad about it. But what you'll find is that even if, you know, they're not good options necessarily, and a lot of them aren't, whenever you swipe left or right, whatever, on somebody on one of these apps, every swipe is a dehumanizing act of rejecting a person in their totality just because they don't fit your certain appetite at the moment. It's a very dehumanizing thing, and it makes people lesser subconsciously in your own brain. And if you spend, say, an hour on one of these apps just swiping through people, you'll get through, who knows, maybe 70 people in your area by just a passive glance and a swipe of a finger. It's the most inhuman thing and undignifying thing that you can do to another human being. We wouldn't dare do that sort of thing in person, right? If you walk up to another human being and, you know, you're about to say you agreed to go on a date, but it was a blind date or something like that, you wouldn't dream of looking at them once and saying, oh no, ew, and then dismissing them as a human being. Yeah. But you train your mind to do that with these apps and with this instant gratification, to the point where if you find a good person a lot of times in these relationships, you almost don't know what you're looking for anymore. You said no to so many things so many times that it's a little casual. It's nothing for you to just say, eh, he didn't wow me. I didn't feel, you know, like this was a Disney movie and all the sparks flew and all that. So we're just going to crop it out. What I will say to young men and women who are looking is don't let perfect be the enemy of good and godly, right?
Yeah.
Back in the day, even less than 100 years ago, or just about, if a man and a woman got married, he truly wouldn't know what the dating pool was like, even 50 miles away from where he is.
Yeah.
Right? He was committed because, I mean, his wife truly might have been the most beautiful woman that he'd ever seen in his life.
Yeah.
Because they weren't going to leave their small town and all that. Now, am I saying limit your options so that you don't know what better might be out there? No. But what I am saying is marriages were doing a lot better when we weren't treating human beings as these disposable things to swipe through. And I think that there's a little value in getting to understand a person for who they are and sticking around and seeing if you uncover some gold in them. I do think that there's a value in treating human beings with a little dignity in that regard.
No, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, I have nothing else to say. I mean, that's just all so true.
Yeah, I feel like we soaked up a whole lot of time about
getting,
there's so much to cover with this topic.
And we didn't cover all of it either. I mean, there's so much to talk about in dating and marriage and, you know, getting in the nitty-gritty of it. And
right.
We didn't even talk about, you know, personal relationships with, you know, our other guy friends or whatever. But, you know, we'll have so many other times that we can, you know, hop on here and do this.
Absolutely.
But yeah, and even in the context of relationships, even having like Christian community, I think that's so incredibly important. So whatever. But no, my prayer is that all the listeners today just not necessarily, I mean, yeah, like obviously feeling encouraged and ready, you know, to take the next step, but convicted. Because I think that righteous convicted is needed in the church today.
For sure.
I mean, it's always been needed. It's needed now. And so my prayer is that you feel encouraged and convicted and that you are ready to just be decisive and that you're ready to just go on.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, with all that being said, Josh, love you, man. I appreciate you so much just for hopping on here, spreading your wisdom, spreading what you know, spreading your experience. And, I know for a fact you'll definitely be on in the near future.
Absolutely. Let's tackle that, you know, brotherly relationships or sisterly. Let's tackle the platonic things next time we talk.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you again. And yeah, we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Have a good one, brother.
Thank you for tuning in this week's episode of Fit for the Kingdom. If you haven't already, I would greatly appreciate for you to check out the Instagram at FitForKingPod, where I will continue to upload content and seek questions from you guys. My prayer is that all of you will be blessed and continue to actively pursue the Lord. Until next time.